About a year after we were married, I started taking piano lessons. I knew I could get a great teacher and could get a good deal. So I worked at learning to play the piano. And I continued for a little while, about a month, in daily practice. And one, why is somebody laughing already? Thank you for that vote of confidence. One day the teacher, who also happened to live in my house, broke the bad news to me. This just isn't your gift. Now you can laugh. We all know people who are gifted musicians. Oh my, how blessed we are at Harvest Bible Church with so many gifted musicians. It's one thing to be gifted, and it's quite another to be a practitioner, to practice, to put to use that gift. It's one thing to have the gift of music, or of education, or of language, or of whatever. And it's another thing to practice the gift that you have been given. It's another thing to live out the gift. Likewise, it's one thing to receive the gift of courageous faith. And it's yet another thing to practice the gift, to live out this gift of courageous faith. You and I have a problem with fearing God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a struggle that we deal with each day as followers of Christ. Christian, if you really do have courageous faith, you will practice courageous faith. If you really do fear God, your life will give evidence that you fear God, that you stand in awe of God, that you revere God. Now, if you're not yet a follower of Christ, if you're not yet a believer, there is hope for you even this morning as you journey through this broken world. In fact, we have heard it sung just moments ago. You can have rest for your weary soul. You can have rest for your weary soul. And the passage that we come to this morning points us to the one who provides that rest. So if you have not done yet so, if you've not yet done so, would you please turn in your book of, in your scriptures to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. That's page 166 of the Pew Bible. Last week we learned from the first half of this chapter that courageous faith means that we fear God more than we fear the challenge that lies in front of us. And we also learned that courageous faith is a gift from God. That courageous faith comes through the realities of His promises. That He's made these promises to us and that they're going to happen. His promises cannot fail. Courageous faith comes to us through the comfort of His continual presence with us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. Be comforted with His presence and therefore have courageous faith in Him. This courageous faith also comes through the foundation of God's Word. We are to receive this Word. We are to foster a welcoming heart of God's Word and let it to be a foundation of our courageous faith. And we are to meditate on it day and night. We're not to let it to depart out of our mouth. We're to be speaking of the Word and meditating on it that we may observe to do, to obey the Word that God has given to us. So there's this great gift of courageous faith that God gives to us through these different ways. But it's not just that He has given us a courageous faith. He also expects us to practice it. So you can listen for those themes as I read through the first 9 verses of how He has given us this courageous faith and how we see it being given to us through His promises and through His presence and through His Word. But then as I read the second half of Joshua chapter 1, listen for ways in which we are to respond or practice or live out that courageous faith. So follow along as I read Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan River, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he has given you. And they shall also have possessed the land which the Lord your God gives them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto you. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that does rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto the words in all thou commands him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Courageous faith is fearing God more than a challenge that lies in front of you. God gives us courageous faith through the realities of his promise, through the comfort of his presence with us, and through the foundation of his word. And now the second half of this chapter is about responding to that gift of courageous faith. When God gives us courageous faith, what are we supposed to do with it? How are we to live it out? What does our life look like when we are living with courageous faith? How do we respond to the gift of courageous faith? Obedience, unity, and rest are personal and the corporate responses of those who fear God above all else. How is your courageous faith being practiced? The second half of this chapter unfolds 3 ways in which we see courageous faith being practiced. First, courageous faith is practiced through our obedience to God's commands. We see this in a couple of ways. First, we see the obedience of the leader, Joshua. So we see obedience to God's commands, living out of courageous faith by the leader of God's chosen people. Joshua has already received instruction from the Lord. In fact, he came, instruction of from the Lord came to Joshua both before and after the death of Moses. We read part of it in the beginning part of Joshua chapter 1. Now we see Joshua make a choice to obey the commands that's come from God. Joshua is going to complete five items. He's going to complete five tasks before the Lord again speaks in Joshua chapter 3. He's going to commission officers to organize the Israelites. Joshua is going to confirm the participation of the Transjordan tribes. He's going to send messengers out to spy the land. He's going to address the people concerning preparation to cross the Jordan. And fifthly, he's going to address the priests on crossing the Jordan. He's going to follow the commands that God has given to them. So here we see the first one. He's going to give instruction to the officers of the children of Israel. Verse number 2 tells them, he receives the instruction from the Lord, go over the Jordan. It recalls to us Deuteronomy chapter 3, where we read in verse 18, and I commanded you to, at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over, armed before your brothers, the people of Israel. And now, in verse 11, Joshua gives instructions on what to do in preparation to cross the Jordan River. This was all in accordance with God's command for Israel to take possession of the land. Joshua reminds them of what God had reminded him. There was a promise kept. The land was theirs to possess. So God commanded Joshua, and then Joshua turns around and he passes on those commands to the officials and then to the people. Now, we have to remember that this was no easy task. This was no easy role for Joshua. It was a difficult thing. Nothing we read leads us to believe that Joshua was going on some kind of cakewalk, right? In fact, just the opposite seems to be the case. It's apparent that Joshua was a fearful person. He was fearful of what was in front of him, the challenge that lay in front of him. Thus, the thrice repeated exhortation, the command to be strong and very courageous. God's leaders are bound by God's commands. God's leaders are bound by God's commands. We see that unfolding throughout the scriptures, don't we? We know that Joseph obeyed God's commands by not entering into a relationship with Potiphar's wife. We know that David obeyed by not killing Saul. We know that Daniel obeyed by continuing his practice of prayer, of drawing near to God in his normal practice. And here in Joshua 1, Joshua's example of obedience to God is a model for Christian discipleship that would follow the commission that we receive in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. When God's leaders walk in obedience to God's commands, people live out their faith in God. They fear Him. Each September, our church begins the process of submitting names for leadership roles of deacon and elder. But really, that's the beginning of just the formal process, because we should be considering it all the time. We should be thinking about it even now. And this is one point that you should keep in mind as you submit names for deacon or elder. Who in this congregation will obey God as a leader, as one of God's leaders for the congregation? Who will provide leadership that is obedient to the word of God? If you are a current leader at Harvest, a deacon or an elder or a Sunday school teacher, you display courageous faith in your promise-keeping God through your personal obedience to God's commands. So teach and lead, and don't sugarcoat the word as you teach it. Don't be shy to call sin, sin. Clearly present God's calls from His word towards righteous living by God's children. Make choices yourself towards righteous living. Leaders are called, are bound by the commands of God to walk in obedience. Parents, as you lead your children, do so with obedience to God's word. Teach your children to walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise. Lead your children to set no wicked thing before their eyes. Lead your children to abstain from all appearance of evil. Lead your children to obey the word. It's how we practice our courageous faith as leaders to our children. But it's not only the leader's obedience that we notice from the second half of Joshua chapter 1. We also see the obedience of the people following Joshua, the people of the children of Israel. Verses 16, 17, and 18 give us this response. They answer Joshua and they said, "All that thou commandest, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go." It was an extensive obedience. They said, "Whatever you tell us, we're going to do it. Wherever you send us, we're going to go." It reminds us of God's promise on the first part of the chapter, "Wherever the sole of your foot goes, I will give it to you." And now Israel responds, these tribes respond, "Wherever we are told to go, we will go." It was an extensive obedience. It was also a declared obedience, right? In verse number 17, "We will obey." Now we know the rest of the story. We understand that at points they chose to disobey and they didn't follow in obedience. But here they're declaring their obedience. Even to the point of the commitment, their commitment even went to the point of carrying out the death penalty. Verse 18 tells us, "Whoever doesn't obey, let them be put to death for their disobedience." Their readiness to follow Joshua is so great that those who may want to disobey are threatened with death. This is the level of their declared commitment. How do you practice courageous faith in your obedience to God? Can I remind you of our statement of faith as a congregation? Our HBC statement of faith says, "We believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the verbally inspired Word of God, the final authority for faith and life, inerrant in the original writings, infallible, and God-breathed." We hold to a sola scriptura position. That means that we believe God's Word is the final authority for faith in this life. And if we hold that position, we must obey God's Word even in the face of the temptation to disobey. We must obey God's Word as our culture runs contrary to the Word, to the commands of God. We must obey God's Word even when we don't understand all of God's Word or how what God is teaching us or how God is leading us through His commands. Children of our congregation, you must practice courageous faith also. Probably the first verses you were taught was from Ephesians chapter 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You've been called to submit to your mom and dad, even though they are sinners, even though they are faulty. Christian, practice courageous faith through obedience to God's commands. Fear God. Stand in awe of God. Revere God more than you fear the process of explaining the gospel to a stranger. Be strong and very courageous. Fear God more than you fear confronting a brother or sister in Christ about a sin problem that you've become aware of. Be strong and very courageous. Fear God more than you fear the loneliness that you face every day. Be strong and very courageous. Fear God more than you fear the pressure to cave in on black and white hot button issues in our society. Be strong and very courageous. The time is coming, Christian, that even for us in this blessed nation, where we will be forced to choose between personal obedience to God or obedience to a government. In other words, there may come a time where we'll be in a situation where we can no longer do both. Be reminded that we ought to obey God rather than men when it comes down to it. Consider Jesus Christ's own courageous faith as he practiced his obedience to God the Father. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There is no greater display of courageous faith than what we see in Christ on the cross. He bore the burdens of sin that were not his. He feared, he reverenced his Father more than he feared the death of the cross. He practiced that reverence. He practiced that courageous faith by walking in obedience to God the Father. This is what the gospel is. This is what the good news is. Good news is the opportunity to have life everlasting, even though we all deserve eternal death. If you are unsure about this gospel, this good news, if you've never made this gospel yours, if you've never called out in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ to ask him to be your Savior, I invite you today to do that, to turn away from your sin, to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you deserve to spend eternity in hell, and to place your faith or your trust in Jesus, acknowledging that Jesus made payment for your sin and that God is satisfied with that payment in your behalf, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have questions about that, I'd be happy to show you after the service from the scriptures how you can be saved, how you can call out in faith to Jesus. Courageous faith is practiced through our obedience to God's commands. Now, please don't be confused about this call to practice courageous faith through obedience to God's commands. Obedience to God will not gain you eternal life. Obedience to God will not keep God loving you. Obedience to God will not allow God to love you more. God can't love you any more than he already does love you, more than he already has loved you. But you cannot legitimately claim the name of Christ while also repeatedly and unrepentantly choosing the path of disobedience. God's grace doesn't make an excuse for our obedience. God's grace encourages our obedience. So we can't just say, okay, God's been shown grace to us. It doesn't matter if I obey or if I don't obey. No, because God has shown grace to us, that encourages us to follow God, to obey the commands that he has given to us. Obedience is one way that you can respond to God's love for you. Obedience, obeying God, is a way to practice the idea that you love and fear God more than you love and fear anything or anyone else. Harvest Bible Church, let us make our declaration to obey God, let us make that declaration match the declaration of Israel. We will obey the commands of the Lord. In all that God commands us to do, we will do by his grace. Wherever he calls us to go, we will go by his grace. Do you practice courageous faith through your obedience to God's commands? Obedience, unity, and rest are the personal and the corporate responses for those who fear God above all else. So courageous faith is practiced through obedience to God's commands. Secondly, courageous faith is practiced through our unity with God's children. Joshua was tasked with leading thousands of people in a single geographical direction. Can you imagine the headache? He was also tasked with leading these thousands of people in a single spiritual direction. Can you imagine the challenge that was before him? Disunity rears its ugly head in the face of challenges and the strong opinions of so many different individuals. Did you notice as I read through that Joshua doesn't say, obey my voice? He doesn't pull that out. I'm the leader, obey me. That's not his method here at all. Instead, he wisely brings his beloved predecessor Moses back to their mind. Verse 13, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. But even more importantly, he calls the people to an obedience to God. He pulls out the trump card and he says, here it is. This is God's word. This is what God has commanded us. There's ways that we see this unity being practiced throughout this passage. First, we see the loyalty of the warriors 2.5 tribes were going to cross the river and to fight for the promised land that had been given to them. One commentator noted that Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh are models of willing obedience and instruments of encouragement. So we see here a unity among them. We see also the unity by the support of the nation as a whole. Verse 17, only may the Lord be with you. And in verse 15, the nation is viewing itself as a whole instead of individual tribes or individual families. The rest already granted would not be enjoyed fully until all of Israel achieved it together as a whole nation. But then did you notice also the self-sacrifice of the warriors? They left their cattle behind. This was their livelihood. Can you imagine stepping away from your job, stepping away from your career in order to help others? Served one another at great cost to themselves. They left behind loved ones, the little ones, families. How do you serve one another at cost to yourself? Do you do so when it's inconvenient to serve one another within the body? You see, God's people care for God's people. We display courageous faith as we pursue unity within God's children. That's why we read in Philippians 1:27, our tagline for Harvest Bible Church, that we are striving together for the faith of the gospel. Courageous faith fears God. It's the first commandment. Love God. Courageous faith also practices unity with God's children. Love your neighbor. Keith and Kristen Getty have a hymn text that points us back to this truth. The second stanza, beneath the cross of Jesus, his family is my own. Once strangers chasing selfish dreams, now one through grace alone. How could I now dishonor the ones that you have loved? Beneath the cross of Jesus, see the children called by God. How do you view the children called by God? Do you view one another as family? Do you enter into the Lord's house with a consumer mentality of what's in it for you? Or do you come ready to serve and to meet the needs of others? Is there a widow in your connection group that you could provide good care for? Maybe you love God's children sacrificially by giving of your own time to go to a young mom's house who is overwhelmed with all of the mommying, and you offer to clean someone's house. Maybe you love God's children sacrificially through giving money in order to encourage somebody. God's people care for God's people. Another way that we can practice courageous faith through our unity with God's children is by not demanding our own way. Not demanding that everything at church should be to our own preference. We can pursue unity with God's children by not demanding everyone align with us on matters of the conscience or Christian liberty. That's what our Wednesday night series is all about. Pursue unity with God's children. It's one way how you practice courageous faith. It's not a call to pursue cloning, that we're all robots, that we're all the same. We create disunity, though, when we expect everyone in the church to agree with us on our favorite authors or speakers or musicians. We create disunity when we expect everyone in the church to meet our standards of music or dress or whatever the case may be. We create disunity when we expect everyone in the church to agree with us on our entertainment choices. Christian, make fearing God a higher priority than being in agreement with other Christians on peripheral matters. It's more important that you fear God than agreeing with fellow church members about their stance on worship music or education for your children or Bible translation. Practice courageous faith through unity with God's children. Paul exhorted us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we are called, with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you practice courageous faith through your unity with God's children? Courageous faith is practiced through our obedience to God's commands. It's practiced through our unity with God's children. And thirdly, this passage teaches us that courageous faith is practiced through our rest in God's covenant. This idea of the promised land in the book of Joshua is kind of an intricate concept in the book, especially as it relates to Christians today in the church age. This is the first time that we see rest in the book of Joshua. Rest is part of the created order. We first read of it in Genesis chapter 2, when God rested from his work creating the world. Rest is celebrated in the Sabbath, Exodus chapter 20. Rest is connected to Israel's own redemption from Egypt, Deuteronomy chapter 5. It points to a future time of peace, Isaiah chapter 2. And as Andy read for us this morning, a promised rest is found for us in Christ. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4. Here in Joshua, God had given them the promised land, but they still had to fight for it. Somebody said it this way: the threat to promised rest was not the people of the land. The threat to promised rest was not the Canaanites. It wasn't the people of the land. The threat to promised rest was the unbelief in Israel's hearts. In other words, the threat to enjoying the promised rest came to the surface through unbelief in God. This passage is calling us to continued belief, to continued trust in the covenant of God. Our call is to trust God's promises to us. Our call is to believe that God offers, to continue believing in the rescue that God offers. Our call is to rest in God's covenant to us. So rest in the promises of God that come to you through Jesus Christ. Trust God's covenant to provide a law keeper in your place. Christ kept the law in your stead. You don't have to keep the law in order to gain access to God. Jesus' law keeping is accepted on your behalf. Trust God's covenant to accept the blood of Jesus that we sang about this morning. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, Hebrews chapter 10. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ has been offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. God's anger for your sin has been appeased through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Trust God's covenant to accept the blood of Jesus. Trust God's covenant to raise his son. Romans 6, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You can have victory over sin today. You can have victory over sin this week. Trust God's covenant to you in raising Christ from the dead. That is practicing. That is one way you can practice your courageous faith. Trust God's promise to have an intercessor for you. Hebrews chapter 7. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus, even now, is showing his wounds before the throne of God. He is interceding on your behalf. Trust God's promises that he's going to come again. Titus chapter 2, that we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is hope for you to continue on in this journey of life. Christian, you can rest. You can practice courageous faith now by resting in all of the good promises, the covenants that God has made to you. Christian, you can be calm at heart. You can be at peace in this life. You can have all hope because Jesus has kept the law in your behalf. Jesus did shed his blood for your sin. Jesus did rise from the dead to make you alive together to God. You can have peace because Jesus even now intercedes before the throne of God. And you can have peace at heart because he has promised that he is coming again. Even so, it is well with my soul. Do you practice courageous faith in this life through your rest in God's covenant? Being a naturally gifted musician is somewhat a waste if you never use those gifts. God gives his children courageous faith. Let's not waste that gift by failing to practice courageous faith. Your individual courageous faith and our corporate courageous faith is displayed as we obey God's commands to us. It's displayed as we pursue unity with God's children. And it's displayed, it's practiced as we rest in his good covenants with us. What a difference it will make in our families and in our church if we obey God. What an impact it will have if we strive together for the faith of the gospel with patience, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What a hope we'll have if we rest in the covenant God has made with us. May our great God be pleased to do so in our individual lives and as our walk together corporately as the people of Harvest Bible Church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.